we'll start our reading at verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 and 42. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The Son of David." I want to examine four questions this morning that you've just heard in those verses. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? First. And what I want to basically do is take from the scriptures various witnesses of various persons throughout the Bible of what they said of Christ. But whom say ye that I am is the second question. See, that's a personal question. The first question is, whom do men say I am? What do others say that I am? But that is a personal question. Whom say ye that I am? And I want you to apply that to yourself this morning. And what think ye of Christ? That's my main question I'm going to be speaking on this morning. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That is the last question. Peter could say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now this morning I want to divide it into four areas also. His birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. We'll start off with his birth in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 35. You can turn this if you like, but I'll probably be going over some of these pretty fast, so you may not make it in time. But this is where the angel Gabriel was sent from God to Mary. And basically these verses on his birth I'm just going to read, and because they say it more well than I could ever say it. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom shall there be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The angel said, was conceived of the Holy Ghost, and the angel identified him as the Son of God. And in Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21, we have where the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and says, in verse 20, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." The angel tells Joseph that Mary would conceive a son, and to call his name Jesus. And Jesus basically means Savior. And here it says that he was to be the Savior of sinners, the promised Messiah. And then in Luke 1, verses 41 through 44, we have the testimony of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And Mary has just entered the house of Zacharias, and she greets Elizabeth. And this is what it has to say about that greeting. "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation or greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And it's interesting to note that Elizabeth claimed the Lord when he was not even yet born. She says, "The mother of my Lord should come to me." And it's interesting also that John the Baptist began his witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in the womb. It says, "The babe leaped in the womb for joy." He started before he was even born yet. And also we have the testimony of the angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds in the field. That's found in Luke 2, verses 9 through 11. And it says, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel of the Lord proclaims to the shepherd that the Lord had come, and that he had come to all people. He was available to all. And then we have when Jesus is brought unto Simeon, before Simeon, in Luke 2, verses 27 through 32. Verse 26 says that it was revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And then in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit, that's his Simeon, into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon here is saying that he was satisfied with his life where he had seen the salvation of the Lord. He was, as far as his concern, his life had reached a fitting end because he had seen the salvation of God. And then the last one I have on the birth of the Lord Jesus is the question of the wise men in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Even the star bore testimony of the Lord Jesus. It's a fitting picture of him, since he is the light, as the word indicates. And it says the wise men came to worship him. And then we have the testimony of the Spirit and the Father, starting with the Lord's life. This is the first I have in the Lord's life. When Jesus was baptized, in Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17, and it says there, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. That's the witness of the Spirit. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the Father. He showed his pleasure in his Son and in the work he came to do. Then we have the testimony of John the Baptist, and I like this. In John 1, verse 29 and 34, verse 29, this is the same person that leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. See, John realized that the Lord had come as a lamb. He came as a sacrifice to take away the sin of the world. He was the one that would come to bear away the sins of the world. And verse 34, and I saw, this is John's testimony, and bear record that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist said of the Lord, this is the Son of God. Then I have a few miscellaneous ones of what the people said of him. Or it's just recorded that people said this. In Matthew 7, 28 and 29, we have recorded here, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority or power, and not as the scribes. And there we have revealed unto us that Jesus astonished the people with authority or power. You see, the Bible says in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus had all power, and the Bible also records that he had the power to lay down his life and to take it again. Jesus could say in John 10:18, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. And we shall see in future readings that that's exactly what he did. And then in Matthew 9:33, we have recorded another incident. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. They had never seen anything like it, and they never will again, for the Lord was come. And then we have a few more incidents of what the people said of him. When Jesus walked on the water, in Matthew 14, verse 33, those that were in the ship, says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Matthew 12, 23 tells of Jesus healing the blind and dumb, and it says, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of David? You know, they said, and before it said in the question, if you remember, the Pharisees said that he was the Son of David. And here is the same thing. They say, is not this the Son of David? But you know, the Lord was not only the Son of David. He was a man. And it's true that he was in the line of David. But he was also God. God become man is what he was. The Jews once tried to stone him because that he said, that he, being man, made himself God. They tried to stone him for that. But they had just the opposite. The opposite was true of the Lord. He, being God, made himself man. He lowered himself to come into this world to save sinners. Then we have Jesus speaking to Martha in John 11:25-27. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. Now Jesus, the Lord here speaks of being dead. But this he is speaking of not physical death, but spiritual death. If you have never yet trusted Christ as your Savior, in God's eyes you are spiritually dead. And the Lord says that he is the only one. I am the resurrection. I am the, not I am one of the, but I am the resurrection and the life. He is the only one that has power to give you real spiritual life. And I like the testimony of Martha. She says, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. She confessed him as Lord of her life. In John 8:24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. The Lord says in that previous verse, I am the resurrection. I am he says. And then in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. That's a striking verse, and it's also very true. If you do not believe that Lord Jesus is who he claims he is, he says that you will die in your sins. And I would hope you would consider that this morning. Romans 10:9 says, just as Martha did, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's exactly what Martha did. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. She confessed him as Lord. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call. Martha called upon the Lord and she was saved. And it says, shall be saved, not may be saved. I like that. Shall be saved. There's no ifs, ands, and buts for the Lord. Then we have the testimony of the leper in Matthew 8:2-3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The leper here realized that he needed cleansing. And that is the first most important step in your life if you're unsaved. You must realize that you need to be cleansed in the eyes of God. And what did he do? He came to the only one that could cleanse him. He came to Christ. You know, it costs the Lord nothing to cleanse a leper. He was the Son of God. He made the worlds. Everything that you see around you, this building, the sands, the grass, he made everything. It cost him nothing to cleanse that leper. But it cost him everything to save a sinner, for it cost him his life. He had to die on the cross that you might be saved. It cost him everything for him to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then we have the testimony of the woman at the well in John 4:25-26. It says, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And in verse 29, she says to the Samaritan man, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You notice she says, when Christ is come, Jesus says, I am come. And she tells the Samaritans to come and see the Christ. I like that order. You know, and it says also of the testimony of the Samaritans, and many more believe because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They believe Christ because they heard him themselves. And you know, that's the way it is with God's salvation. You've got to hear him yourself, and then you've got to believe him yourself. No one can trust Christ for you. And then we have the testimony of even the demons and the unclean spirits, the enemies of God. In Matthew 8:29, it says, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? They knew who he was. And in Mark 5:7, we have the same incident, translated a little bit different, or wrote a little different. It says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Mark 1:24, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Mark 3:11, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And Luke 4, verse 41, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. Men deny Christ, but the devils and the demons and the unclean spirits knew who he was. They said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The blind men. In Matthew 9, verse 27 through 30, we have this miracle recorded. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, you notice that they called him Son of David. The blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Before it was Son of David, now they say, Yea, Lord. They had come to the point of confessing him who he was. Before, they just confessed him as a man, a kingly man, but now they confess him as Lord, who he really was. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. You know, a blind man is basically the same way a sinner is. You and I, before we were saved, if you're saved today, we're blind to the Lord. We're blind to his claims. We have the testimony of blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, verse 46 through 52. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Son of David again, Son of David again. And then, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You notice it says, Bartimaeus cast away his garment. And that's interesting to me. He cast away his garment. Isaiah 64:6 says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. He cast away his garment. And that's what you've got to do when you come to the Lord. You've got to cast away your garment. Some men try to come to God, they try and buy their way. They try to say, well, I've done good works. The Lord says, no, you've got to cast away your garment. None of what you've done before counts anything to me. All our righteousness are as filthy rags in God's sight. You've got to come to Christ for what he is. You've got to cast away your garment. And then also, when Bartimaeus called upon the Lord, you notice Jesus answered him. And you know, once again, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Bartimaeus called upon him, and the Lord answered him. And it says, he confessed Jesus as Lord. He says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And it says, immediately, he received his sight. Not 10 days ago. Not 10 days later. Not a month later. Not 6 months later. Immediately. And the Lord claims the same for you. If you trust him today, he says, immediately, you shall be saved. And the man born blind after being healed by Jesus, John 9:25, he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And I can say the same thing this morning. Once I was blind, but now I see. In verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him. He saw. Can you imagine that? The first one your eyes opened to was the Lord. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. The man was born blind, and we were born blind in our sins once again. The Lord asked him if he believed on the Son of God. He said, Lord, I believe on him. What think ye of Christ this morning? What think ye of Christ? And we have, when some of the disciples, Jesus' disciples left him, in John 6:67-69, Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. to whom shall we go? Peter realized that there was none other that could offer him eternal life, that to pay the price that needed for his sins to be forgiven. And I like those words. And we believe and are sure. You know, when you come to Christ, you can have assurance that your sins are forgiven. He promises that to you. Peter can say, I am sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And then we have the testimony of Caiaphas, the high priest, the same one that would later condemn the Lord, prophesying of him, speaking to the chief priests and Pharisees in John 11:49-52. He says to them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient or convenient, as Webster's dictionary says. Expedient can also mean convenient. It's the same, more or less the same word for us. That one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Convenient for us. Convenient for us. Felix answered Paul after hearing him tell of Christ in Acts 24:25. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know, Felix said, when I have a convenient season. But God only promises you right now. He doesn't promise you any more than right now, than that. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord says unto you to come unto him now. He doesn't promise you any more or any less. And in Mark 14:61-62, Jesus answers the high priest, the same one that prophesied of him coming, who is now condemning him. In verse 61, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. If you read that little passage there, you realize it says there that Jesus answered him nothing when he was accused of the false witnesses and of the priests. All their accusations against him, he answered him nothing. He didn't say a thing. He held his peace. But when it came to who he was, Jesus could be silent no longer. Art thou the Christ? I am. Jesus says, I am the Christ. What think ye of Christ? Judas could say in Matthew 27:4, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. Judas betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed him for money. And how often, how many men have been led astray? Men and women, money, possessions, things. After I have got my fortune, I'll trust Christ. But once again, Christ doesn't promise you any more than right now. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Then we come to the trial of Jesus. And I like this, Pilate's wife and Pilate's testimony, and Pilate himself's testimony. It says, Pilate's wife sent unto Pilate, and said unto him, Matthew 27:19, have thou nothing to do with that just man? Have thou nothing to do with that just man? She made a fatal mistake there, you know. You can't have nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 14:6. And in Matthew 12:30, Jesus says, he that is not with me is against me. Jesus says unto you, you can't have nothing to do with me. If you're not with me, you're against me. You must come to him. Pilate says in Luke 23:4, I find no fault in this man. And yet he condemned him. In Matthew 27:24, when Pilate saw he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Pilate thought that he could wipe away the guilt of the condemnation of the Son of God to death with water. He thought he could wash it away. That sin, which was probably greater than almost any other, he thought he could wash away with water. And men try to wash down their sins before God. But God says it can't. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Nothing else can cleanse you in the eyes of God. The testimony of the dying thief. Luke 23:39-43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Save thyself and us, if thou be Christ. Matthew 27:42 says, he saved others, himself he cannot save. And they were exactly true on that. He saved others, himself he could not save. For to save others, he couldn't spare himself. He had to die, that others might live. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. That dying thief realized that Jesus had done nothing wrong, nothing to deserve the cross. He was there for another purpose. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. What think ye of Christ? Then we have the testimony of Jesus in his death. On the cross, John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus could say in John chapter 17, verse 41, addressing the Father, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You see, that dying thief, there was nothing he could do for his salvation. Yet Jesus said unto him, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The Lord said, It is finished. It is finished. There's nothing you can do. All you can do is trust God in his finished work. I have finished the work. He has done the work so that you don't have to. And then we have the testimony of the centurion in Matthew 27, verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. The centurion could say, seeing those things that were done, and watching Jesus, truly, this was the Son of God. There was none other like him. The angel appears to the two Marys at the tomb, speaking of the resurrection of the Lord. We come to the resurrection. And it says, Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. The angel says unto them, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. You see, those two Marys came to the tomb expecting to find a dead Christ. They were looking for a dead Savior. But praise God, he is risen, as he said. We don't serve a dead Savior, we serve a living Savior. Jesus appears to Thomas and the disciples. Keith read this morning. I'd like to read it again. In John 20, verse 26 through 28. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. And stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. See, when Thomas saw the results of the cross, he said, My Lord and my God, what think ye of Christ? In the book of the Acts, says of the apostles in chapter 1, verse 3, concerning the resurrection, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And infallible more or less means certain proofs, certain proofs. He showed himself alive by certain proofs. John could say of his writings in John 20, verse 31, But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John could say of his book, These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. What think ye of Christ? Peter says to the Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:32, This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Peter was sure of the resurrection, for he saw it. Peter was sure. He saw the Lord. And then the Lord speaks to Saul, or Paul, on the Damascus Road. In Acts 9:5, the conversion, we have the conversion of Paul. Saul asks, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I am Jesus. Not I was Jesus. I am Jesus. He lives. He liveth. The Lord said in Revelation 1:18 of himself, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I am he that liveth. He lives now. I am Alpha and Omega in Revelation 1:8. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Acts 26. This morning, you've heard a testimony of many witnesses of the Lord in his life, of his birth and his death. And you have seen a little bit of what he was like. Acts 26:28 has a reaction of one who heard of Christ. King Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me. Almost persuaded. Almost persuaded." You know, you can say truthfully, to be almost saved is to be altogether lost. It's a stunning thought. To be almost saved is to be altogether lost. Can you imagine to stand before Him and say, "Lord, I was almost saved July 27, 1975. I was almost saved." And to hear His words, "I never knew you. I never knew you." In Matthew 7:23, we have that recorded. Matthew 26:41. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you." You know, but the Lord doesn't want that for you. The Lord doesn't ever want you to hear those words. He longs for you to come to Him. He wants you to come to know the One who died for you. I like the illustration of one man who turned to Christ from a life of sin. He gave this experience of his acceptance. "I just crept to the feet of Jesus, and greatly to my astonishment, He did not scold me. He knew that I had been scolded enough. He did not pity me, and He did not give me any advice either. He knew that I had plenty of that. He just put His arms around my neck and loved me. I was a new man. He just put His arms around my neck and loved me." The Lord wants to put His neck around you, His arms around your neck tonight and love you. Almost persuaded. What think ye of Christ? And then of the Christians, this morning I want to speak a little word to you also, and to me too. What think ye of Christ, Christian? What think ye of Him? Philippians 3:7-8, Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of a knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Is Jesus your Lord this morning? He can be your Savior without being your Lord. Is He Lord of your life? "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." To everyone. The Lord speaks to the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3 and says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Are we lukewarm Christians for the Lord? Are we lukewarm for Him? We're neither cold nor hot. I like the testimony of the two on the road to Emmaus. And they said one to another, Luke 24:32, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us, by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Did not our heart burn with us?" Are we lukewarm Christians? Revelation 3:18, the Lord says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." The gold speaks of the eternal worth that God has for us through Christ Jesus. You know, to buy, it must cost you something. It's a sacrifice. You have to pay for it. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." But when you buy, in worldly terms, you buy with the idea that what you're paying for is worth more than the money you have. And I say to you this morning, is not Christ Jesus worthy? Is He not worthy? Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." The price was Christ Jesus' own precious blood. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. I like the words of that song. "See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all." Some years ago, friends at the bedside of a noble and aged missionary noticed her lips moving feebly. Bending over, they caught the faintly uttered word, "Bring." They asked her, "Bring what? Your medicine?" Then with a smile that filled her face, the missionary said with her last breath, "Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Christian, if you own Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, what think ye of Christ? Oh, to hear those words spoken to each Christian in that day to come. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Truly worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive our hearts, our lives, our all. Why don't we just sing in closing? Number 2.